Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the South Carolina High School Blitz on the SCVarsity.com radio network.
All right, another Sunday in November. Welcome in, Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com on the Sunday Blitz, joined by my friend Richie Altman from the Low Country of South Carolina and Southern Sports Central. Richie, what a great Friday night of football we had. And actually one game on Thursday night, Ridgeview over Daniel. But what a super weekend and a super third round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Jim, man, good evening to everybody. Sunday, of course, get to recap it all for Friday night. But it was a great weekend. If you're a Dutch Fork and you're a couple of those other teams, Carolina Force that had big games, not so good for the Lowcountry. I think we started with six teams, maybe seven teams, playing football on Friday night. There's only one lonely team that had come out and practiced this week, and that's, of course, Oceanside. They were able to take out another team here in the Lowcountry Woodland. But, man, I tell you, I gained a lot of respect for some of the other teams around the area. But a lot of close games in the upstate. Dorman having to win there with a field goal. And, of course, Gaffney pulling one out against Burns. But all across the board, Hartsville comes back and beats Brooklyn. Casey, man, this is what football's supposed to be like in November, right?
It is, you know, it was a great third round, and my picks took a little hit this week. I went 13-7. I had a couple of games picked that I felt were going to turn out with. I don't think you could really call them upsets, but I want to go ahead and eat my crow because I picked against these teams, you know, in 5A, Gaffney. They showed up to play football, man. I said a couple of weeks ago, this Gaffney team, I think when they show up to play, they can beat anybody in the state. But, they go to Dorman, and they brought their best game effort, and they beat, the Burns, and they beat a very good Burns football team. And so they cost me a game because I actually had Burns picked. But this is a Gaffney team, Richie, that, you know, in the preseason, I felt like that they were going to contend for a state title. I had them at number two behind Dutch Fork in the preseason polls because I felt they were that good. And then, you know, it kind of came unraveled for them, and they didn't play well. They had some injuries. They got everybody back except for Jamari Little John at linebacker. And listen, this team is going to give Dorman, I think, all they can handle next week. And then Carolina Forest in 5A. I had Goose Creek picked in that game, and not only did Goose Creek not win the game, they got pounded. I mean, Mason Garcia and company took it to them and cost me two games in my picks in that. But I'm still 108-20 overall, so that's not too bad. But anyway, I just I'm looking forward to the game. There were so many close games, Richie, and I started thinking about it. I started thinking about the playoff proposals that I put out there. Can you imagine if they adopted one of those proposals that this past week, that would have been our first round matchups?
Oh, yeah. It would have been huge. I mean, you talk about, you know, the Brooklyn Casey Hartsville. I mentioned that early. But go back to this game against, and this is a big topic. This is a big conversation. Goose Creek kind of put themselves in that situation by pushing back that game as long as they did. They played Somerville on Monday night. They handled business. Manny McQuamu, of course, I thought looked really good, all things considering. But here's the thing. You gave the opposing team home field advantage. On top of that, being Carolina Force, hadn't played since that Thursday. You know, they didn't play Friday night. They played a day earlier. So you're giving Mason Garcia, this committed kid, to go to East Carolina another day or two or three to get better? I mean, come on. You gave the running back a chance to kind of watch a little bit more film. And then if you're Goose Creek, you spent the entire day Tuesday getting better in the training room. I mean, because that's how it works. If you're there on Friday, usually Sunday, you're kind of licking your wounds, or at least you have a Saturday where you don't do anything. Well, this team out of Goose Creek, they had to go right back to the playing field on Tuesday after playing Monday night against a very good, aggressive defense out of summer. The offense, they kind of ran them around a little bit, and they stuck them pretty good. It was a good old-school rivalry there between two teams. But that's not a lot of turnaround team. When we talk about what safety for the kids, well, Jim, I ask you the question, JV. I'm surprised they didn't push that game back to Saturday because of the big picture that Goose Creek had 3 days. 3 days of preparation and realistically 2 days of field practice because they probably spent a lot of days Tuesdays wrapping some things up. And think about Thursday. Usually that's a walkthrough practice. That ended up being a full-day practice at Goose Creek. So short-term, got you a quick turnaround back to Goose Creek with a loss.
Yeah, and that's, you hate to have just 3 days, but, you know, it kind of put Carolina Forest in the same situation. I mean, the Carolina Forest didn't know who to prepare for with Goose Creek and Somerville not playing until Monday. So they basically had to wait until Tuesday to start the preparation, specific preparations, that, you know, for the team that they were going to play. But, you know, a lot of trouble when you start pushing your games to further out. I mean, even if you do a Saturday game, they still have time to prepare because most of the teams aren't doing anything on Saturday anyway, except for trading film. But you know, they don't even get to trade film on that Monday game until Monday night, maybe even Tuesday morning. And you know, by that time, I mean, you got really 2 days to prepare. You're not going to do anything on Thursday. And I don't know, it just was kind of crazy the way that worked out.
There's been a lot of questions, though, JB. Think about it, though. Andrews had that same scenario where they weren't sure who they were going to play. Well, they knew who they thought they were going to play. And then Oceanside kind of got hit a little bit hard on that disciplinary issue. So everybody that Coach Scott and his guys with the Yellow Jackets prepared to play Burt. Well, guess what? Monday at 3:45, after 2 weeks into this situation, they find out they're playing realistically what it easily could be the best team in the lower state in 2A football. Congratulations for winning the region. And then very similar situation here. You know, they're pushing this game back 3 days, three whole days. Well, that's not really fair. And I didn't think about it that way either for Carolina Forest. But these guys did not know whether they're playing Somerville or a very dual threat, triple option to some degree team out of Goose Creek. And I don't say triple option, but definitely a dual threat quarterback out of that young man, McQuamu. That's two total different teams to prepare for come Friday night.
Well, it's going to be interesting now that we got that behind us. And then, of course, in 4A, I missed the Hartsville-Brooklyn-Casey game. I had Brooklyn-Casey picked in that, and they actually had that game. I mean, they kind of gave it away, let Hartsville back in the second half, and Jeff Calabrese did a great job of making adjustments and doing some things that they don't normally do. And then they go down. The interesting thing in that game I was thinking about, Richie, On the second touchdown for Hartsville, they got three back-to-back motion penalties, and it pushed the ball back 15 yards on the extra point. The kids still made, I guess, what's that, a 30-yard extra point. That could have been the difference in that game because if he had missed that, they would have been going for two to just tie it and not win it. But anyway, with 2:39 left, they score the third touchdown and they go for two to win it. And, you know, they get the win. And I can only congratulate Jeff Calabrese and Hartsville for being able to pull that off like they did. And then 3A, I had Camden losing, going down to Union on the road. That was a game that, though, I toyed back and forth with, Richie. I wasn't sure. I felt like it was a fairly evenly matched game. And usually when you got an evenly matched game, you go to the team, or I go to the team that's got the better quarterback. Well, they both got pretty good quarterbacks. So Union was at home, so I felt like I'd go with Union in that. But Camden goes up there, and they take care of business. I picked Gilbert over Dillon. Dillon comes back on the closing moments of the game to win that game. So there was just a lot of close games this weekend. I'm hoping that we get the same type of football this weekend.
Well, you know, you got Hartsville going to Myrtle Beach. That's an old, you know, rivalry there within the 4A ranks there. Of course, I'm curious to see what you're going to see in that 5A lower state as well when you've got the likes of Carolina Forest and Mason Garcia, but they've got a running back behind him that's really, really good. Doesn't get a lot of exposure because of Mason Garcia kind of takes the highlight out of that. You and I talk about some of the best quarterbacks in the area. Mason Garcia is definitely one of those guys in the conversation. But I don't know anybody, and I watched it firsthand. When Duck Fork went into Fort Dorchester, I was at the game calling it there, and holy moly, Tom Knox has done a great job. everything that team does is in unison. They walk off the bus together. They stretch together. They yawn together. I mean, you name it, it's all in sync, and it's a testimony of what Coach Knox chose to give that level of attention from the B team to the JV and to the varsity. That's huge, and it speaks volumes. I'm not sure anybody in the state of South Carolina can beat a team like Dutch Court. They're really good, and I gained a ton more respect for a guy like him with what he's done.
Yeah, I don't think, to be quite honest with you, I don't think it's going to be close. I think, and this is a bold statement when we're talking about semifinals of the playoffs, but I think Dutch Fort beats them by 4 touchdowns or more. I mean, I don't think it's close. They're just, as I said last week, they're a machine. And I haven't seen anyone that I think could come close to them. I do think that Gaffney, if their best team shows up, you know, if it's not Mr. Hyde, if it's Dr. Jekyll that shows up, they're a team that can give Dutch Fort a good game, I think. But
yeah, I agree with you. And here's a guy's name. You think of Tyreek McDaniels? That kid's legit. Yeah, you don't hear a lot about him because, again, you keep hearing about the same two guys, the quarterback and the receiver. Then I would have given another guy, John Hall. I believe John Hall is a defensive back. Is that right, or do I have it?
No, John Hall. He's a running back. He's a running back. McDaniel's in the secondary. They got Tyshawn Brooks, the offensive tackle, big offensive tackles.
Right.
He's outstanding. They got a linebacker, DeMassey, that's outstanding. Obviously, Jalen Hyatt. They've got a junior wide receiver that is good. They've got Jalen Hyatt's younger brother, I think, is a sophomore. He may end up being better than Jalen. I mean, they're just loaded with talent.
I mean, you look at it, though, and I watched it, and here's the thing. Let me say this real quick, Jim. When I watched their – and I don't know why this happened. They were up like 38 to nothing. It went to be a fake punt or maybe a bad snap. The kicker takes off and ran. They were 3rd and 13, Jim. The kicker ran it for 14, maybe 20 yards on a fake punt. And that place at Fort Dorchester erupted with anger. And the other side with a bunch of cheers.
Yeah, I think. Listen, man, Tom Knotts is not gonna. He's not gonna stop trying to score. Now he may put backups in, and I think at the end of that game he did have some backups in. But even with his backups in, he's going to call his game. He's gonna still call the game like he would as if it was 7-7. You know, and that's just how he plays football. You know, he kind of feels like it's not his responsibility to keep his team from scoring. It's your defense's responsibility to keep his team from scoring. And, but anyway, in 2A, I missed the Saluda game. I had Saluda going down to Southside Christian. Southside Christian was a home team. They'd already beaten Saluda once this year. And I came close to going with Saluda for that very reason. It's very difficult to beat a good team twice. And Southside got their quarterback back for this game. But Saluda played a great game. And, you know, we talked about Saluda and the Saluda-Abbeville game from earlier in the year. You know, Saluda doesn't fumble that football. And we had Coach Stuart Young on with us Friday night on the postgame show. You know, Saluda doesn't fumble that football, and that's a 7-point ball game against Abbeville. So this is a very good Saluda team, and I think they're looking forward to this game this week, and we will preview all the games on Wednesday. But and then in 1A, Blackville Hilda goes down to Rich Spring Minetta. I had Blackville Hilda winning that football game. Rich Spring Minetta wins it, and you know, and that was my seventh loss on the night. Again, 13-7 on the night, and I got to make up for it this week. I can't miss any this week because Scott Early is texting me, telling me that he didn't miss any picks, which, listen, I don't buy it. He hadn't posted them anywhere, so I got to see them. I told him, I said, man, I post my picks on social media for people to see. You got to post your picks, yeah? But anyway, well, listen, Richie, we're gonna take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more about. I want to talk about the areas of the state and how strong they're performing in the playoffs, and where it seems to be, you know, where most of the power seems to be. And we'll do that when we come back at 6:30. We have got Camden head football coach Brian Rips going to be joining us to talk about the Bulldogs. And then at 6:45, we will have Myrtle Beach head coach Mickey Wilson coming on to talk to us about that. You're listening to The Sunday Drive on SCVarsity.com radio network.
It's calling your taste buds. You know that delicious-looking landmark, that chocolate-dipped cone in the sky located in Triangle City, West Columbia. Under it, the legendary Zesto, where folks have come from miles around the last six decades to enjoy the absolute best Zesto burgers, sandwiches, homemade slaw dogs, and hot fudge sundaes. All fast and fresh and friendly. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. ZestoWestColumbia.com.
If you have roofing or construction needs, call Pac-Man Contracting, LLC. Roofing, rebuilds, remods, and additions, Pac-Man Contractors can do it all. A veteran-owned company, licensed, bonded, and insured, call 803-363-0739. All right, welcome back in to the Sunday Drive. I'm Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com, joined by Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central. And we've got a great show tonight, talking football. We've kind of gone over the playoffs from Friday night, the third round, Richie. And you know, one of the things that when I was going through and looking at who's left in the playoffs and looking at the number of teams remaining from different areas, and you mentioned it already. You talked about the lower state. There's a few teams probably that you guys don't count. When I break up the state in the lower state, I still got three teams competing down there. I got May River, Barnwell, and Oceanside all competing. I guess in the Charleston area where you're at, Oceanside is the only remaining team. Listen to the breakdown of this. In the Midlands, and if you think about the shift of power, you know, it wasn't that long ago, a decade, maybe close to two decades ago, that it seemed like when we were cross bracketing, all of the teams, the power seemed to be in the upstate, you know, and we had the big, you know, what was used to be Region 2 with, you know, Burns and Gaffney and Dorman. And you also had the other region, Region 3, with Rock Hill and Northwestern. And it seemed like all of the teams, all of the power, seem to be in the upstate. And I think it's kind of shifted a little bit. You know, for the longest time, you didn't see very many Midlands teams competing deep in the playoffs. And this year, right now, we've got six teams remaining. If we count Wagner Sally and Ridge Spring Minetta. We've got Dutch Fort, Ridgeview, Camden, Saluda, and Ridge Spring Minetta and Wagner Sally. Now, Ridge Spring Minetta and Wagner Sally are both in Aiken County, but they're both technically about the same distance as Batesburg-Leesville, which we include in the Midlands here. So six teams from the Midlands in the remaining in the playoffs, playing for semifinals. In the PD area, six teams remaining: Carolina Forest, Myrtle Beach, Hartsville, Dillon, Lakeview, and Green Sea Floyds. Now, of those schools, really, I mean, I think Myrtle Beach, Dillon, and Green Sea Floyd are real strong contenders to win a state title. So they could actually have three state champions in the PD area. In the upstate, there's five teams remaining. Two of them are in 5A, so one of them is going to be eliminated this week, Gaffney and Dorman. And then in 4A, Wren, 3A, Chapman, 2A, Abbeville. And like I mentioned, the lower state's got three teams, May River, Barnwell, and Oceanside Collegiate. So if you look at that, it's with the exception of the lower state, it's a fairly even balance of who's remaining in the playoffs.
Yeah, it really is, JB. You know, when you think about it, and again, you know, you always hear how strong the upper state is, and now they've had a good ring up there, and they've been doing well. But even in 5A football, you know, you're looking who's won what the last four has either been Fort Dorchester, a Dutch Fort, right? And those are all teams from the lower state. Then you go down a little bit. You look at Myrtle Beach. They've had really good runs. Hartsville's done good. Dillon's down there doing their thing. You know, and you're kind of leaning into some of this conversation of maybe, just maybe, they're only looking at certain dimensions of the upstate. And now the upstate has a lot more stronger teams, I would say, Jim. But when it comes out of winning these championships here of late, right, maybe the last 4 or 5 years, consistently you have seen the lower state. You just might not consider them a lower state because they're not in the low country. There's a difference there.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think when we say generally, when we say lower state, upper state, people think that way. They think, you know, okay, well, regions 1 through 4, that's your upper state teams. Region, you know, 5 through 8, that's your lower state teams. When I break it down by the areas because I do my top players by areas. And what I do is I do Greenville, Spartanburg, Rock Hill, and include the Lakelands in that. Now, the Lakelands could really be, you know, on their own with the schools that they've got over there, but I like to include them in the that upstate area. And then I go to the PD coastal area, which is going to be everywhere, everything from Marlboro County, you know, down towards Georgetown, and then back in towards Florence. And then the Midlands, obviously, is going to be the center of Columbia, out as far as Newberry, Batesburg, Leesville, and even Sumter included in the Midlands. And then obviously the lower state's going to think pretty much be everything from Orangeburg, Wilkinson, you know, Orangeburg down. That way that's going to be considered the lower state. Now we could actually, you know, you could do that Central Savannah River area as a separate area because right. You've got some teams down there. You've got Strom Thurmond, North Augusta, South Aiken, Midland Valley, all those teams down in that area that compete as well. But I usually typically include them in the lower state when I'm doing player rankings, because usually when we start doing top players, there's so few players that are all state from a smaller area like that. It's easier just to group them in with the lower state. But anyway, I was pretty interested to see the shift in the power in that and looking at how if you look at the – because I'm going to tell you right now, 15 years ago, you would not see six teams from the Midlands still remaining. Now, you may see PD and you may see the upstate having six or eight, but you wouldn't have seen six from the Midlands. So I think football has generally gotten better in the Midlands, or possibly, as we've talked about, maybe that we're seeing – some mediocrity in football as attrition hits the South Carolina High School League and we see fewer players competing in the level of football going down. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the caliber of football in South Carolina has certainly gone down over the last 10 years, specifically over the last 3 years. When we lost the 8-quarter rule, we've seen kids leaving. And that's not the only reason kids are leaving the game, but if you look at the number of players that your in-state schools right. are offering now versus what they were offering 10 years ago, it's a huge difference. And I think that points to the caliber of football right now in South Carolina. And I'm not saying that the top-tier players are not just as good. I'm just saying we don't have the depth that we used to have. You know, I could do a top 20 players list, and of the 20, all 18 to 20 of them have, you know, Power 5 offers. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah, and that's interesting as well, because you heard it a couple of weeks back. We spoke about it on this radio station and the show and mine as well, where we talked about it just alone, how many South Carolina Gamecocks offered in-state kids? 5, 3? You know, I think 5 was last year, 3 this year. Coastal Carolina struggles with it. I mean, even look at the aspect of Keegan Williams, who's right now single-handedly on Sunday, on Friday night, Jim, he threw for, I think, 2. He ran for 3, and he caught 2 in the end zone. So 6 out of those touchdowns, you know, he did it different ways, but he had 0 offers. And you and I can talk about that on another day, another show if you'd like. But here's the thing. We've got players in our state, but they're leaving our state. I mean, you've got Kenny Solomon, who played at Sockestee last year, graduates, goes to Tennessee on Thursday, was given a completely full scholarship to be an athlete at the University of Tennessee. You're seeing Hyatt. He's already committed to go to Tennessee. We've got players, but how are they leaving our state? But yet, you're right. We don't have, I would say, the numbers that we've had with, of course, the Davion Clowneys and the guys that really kind of made their names going through the Hollimans and things like that, that really, I guess, you know, were kind of a staple in the Palmetto State of the past.
Yeah, they were, and we've seen a difference. Richie, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Brian Ripp from Camden is going to be joining us when we come back from the break to talk a little bit of Camden Bulldog football. We'll be right back on the Sunday Drive.
Whether it's lunch, dinner, or taking home a bucket of the best fried chicken known to mankind, the one place you can get it all is Zesto in West Columbia. And they've been serving the freshest made-to-order Zesto burgers, hot fries, homemade coleslaw, and delicious hand-spun shakes and desserts for the last 65 years. Man, that's a lot of milkshakes and a lot of smiles. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. ZestoWestColumbia.com.
Score big your next tailgate with one of Maurice's barbecue party specials, like Maurice's rib special. 2 pounds of pulled pork cooked low and slow. A full rack of fall-off-the-bone ribs. 3 big pints of southern sides. 10 rolls, a gallon of tea, and 18 ounces of Maurice's signature sauce. V10 for about $6 a person. Now that's tailgate. More at Maurice'sBarbecue.com. Their pits have been hot since 39. Go team!
That great smoke taste is cooking up for you at Maurice's Piggy Park Barbecue.
All right, you're listening to the Sunday Drive on the South Carolina High School Blitz. Jim Baxter from SCVarsity.com, along with Richie Altman from Southern Sports Central, and coming on with us right now, the head coach for the Camden Bulldogs, Coach Brian Rimp. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, congratulations on the win, Coach. And I've already eaten my crow because I picked you guys to fall to Union County. And so I put it out on SC Varsity, and I've already mentioned it on this show. I had to give you guys props. And I was telling Richie, you know, this particular game, it looked so evenly matched that I did, you know, I went back and forth on the pick. And usually I go to the team with the better quarterback. Well, I felt both teams had good quarterback. And so I just went with the home team. And man, shame on me. I should have went with the Bulldogs.
No, that's all right. You keep picking against us. It gives me easy motivation and material for the guys. they were ready for the game. Unit County's a really good football team. You weren't off on that. They are. You know, they made it to the fourth round last year, and they're, you know, the one seed from their region this year. You know, their region three was arguably the toughest in the upper state for 3A. They had 3 out of their 4 teams won the first round matchup. So it was a hard region. They were number one seed. They were at home, really good football team. I'm proud of our guys, obviously, for getting the win there. But Union County certainly it has a lot of talent.
Now, Coach, before we get into what you guys are doing now and what's coming up this week, the Bulldogs have not had a winning season since 2010. Before you took over in 2017, you guys, I think, were 3-9 that first year, but you went 8-3 in your second year. You're 12-1 right now, playing in the semifinals. I think 2002 may have been the last time Camden's been in a semifinal, but walk us through the process of what it took to get this program turned around so quickly, like you've done.
Well, you know, we coach from the sidelines, but the players play on the field. And we are fortunate to have, you know, for the last couple of years now, a lot of good players go through here. You know, last year we ended up finishing 8-4, like you mentioned, lost in the second round to Chapman. We had 27 seniors on the team last year that had a lot of experience. Those guys had played varsity for 3 years. We obviously had younger guys on the team that are playing this year that did really well last year. And those guys really got the what it felt like to win. You know, they played some, you know, our schedule, 9 region, we play 5A teams and 4A teams. We only play one team that's a 2A and everybody else is bigger than us. So we get pretty good competition in a 9 region schedule. And, you know, our region is a pretty tough one too. Last year, Chester won the state championship. from our region. So it was, you know, we had to play those guys in a regular season. So, you know, our guys got used to winning last year and just really find out what it took to get over the hump. You know, last year, the games we lost, they're all close. They're all within, you know, a score, a second score late. And, you know, we weren't ready to take the step to get over the hump. And these guys this year, I mean, they really rallied around each other. They're a fun bunch to be around. They have fun when they're out there. I think one of the things that's noticeable is they just enjoy playing. You know, we are pretty hard on them throughout the week. We demand a lot of things from them, and you know, they meet our demands, and you know, have just really come together to play well. And we're proud of how they've been, but you know, winning is contagious, and it's really exciting when you're doing well and when you've got really good players. That obviously all that helps. And then our coaching staff, you know, we've got a great coaching staff, offensively and defensively. The guys have really game planned well throughout the season against the opposition, no matter what we were facing, whether it was an offensive minded team or a defensive minded team. Really risen to the challenge every single week. And you know, it's a good team working together, and hopefully we can do it for another week or two.
Now, it's been 2002, Camden lost to Union in the state championship. In 2001, they won that. I'm sure that the people around Camden are talking about that, because I think they've got that feeling that this is a team that's going to be able to get back there. During this successful period that you're having, are you seeing any of the former players coming back and hanging around and watching and talking to the team?
Yeah, that's a good question. We are, you know, it's you mentioned 01 and 02. Those were a couple really good teams back to back. 2001, when they ended up winning state championship, Camden went 15-0, and then very next year playing Union, second year back to back, ended up losing the state championship game. So this Union County game this past week actually had a lot of it meant a lot to a lot of people around here in Camden. And one thing neat about living here and coaching here is, you know, there's a mantra that we go by: one team, one town, one goal. You know, all these guys went to Camden High School. You know, they're all alum, and they've traveled with us throughout the season. Really started last year and went to Chester during the regular season last year. I think everybody kind of felt how big of a game that was going to be. We were both ranked in the top five and 3A at the time. And, you know, they've stayed with us throughout this year. Obviously, it's been a pretty good year. But it's really neat to see the alumni come around. You know, some of our coaches that have been here for a while just talked about they've seen guys they haven't seen in a while. You know, it's exciting. For our town, it's exciting for our school. And you know, for instance, at the Union County game on Friday, after the game, a guy named Marcus Brown came up afterwards and spoke to me. Marcus Brown was running back at Camden in 01 and 02. Until 2 weeks ago, he held the single season rushing record here at Camden. He was on that state championship team, and he came and wanted to talk to the guys, you know, especially with our running back now, Willis Lane, breaking his record. He wanted to talk to those guys and just encourage them, and you know, let them know that going to the fourth round, and it's, you know, upper state finals. Obviously, want to do well, but you know, what they've done is special. So it was neat having those guys around, and you know, everybody else that comes back. They stay around here. Once a bulldog, always a bulldog, and it certainly has been a fun ride. It's nice going around town and getting a bunch of high fives and good jobs. Congratulations, and hopefully we keep that going.
Hey, Coach Richie Owen down here in Charleston, Southern Sports Central. Appreciate you giving us a chance to talk to you. Congratulations on the big win. I love what you guys are doing. You're winning by committee. It's a team of everyone, not just one. But I also love the fact that what you're doing is building that culture to where I remember. I grew up in Myrtle Beach, so I'm very familiar with the Sumter, the Camdens of that side of the football world. But you know you're doing right, Coach, when you got these kids coming back. When you got look in the stands and you see the mama still coming, you see the daddy still standing on the sidelines, but you see their kids maybe in college, maybe in the workforce, but they're coming back, they're giving back, they're in the community. Coach, talk a lot about your tradition and how you're building that foundation, and that's why you were able to win a game that I didn't pick against you, by the way. Jim did. And that being said, tell us a little about that.
Well, you know, like I mentioned earlier to Jim, that Camden's a special place. You know, it's one of those places that's rich in tradition. You know, they've won seven state championships throughout the years over here. This is, you know, the high school was started in 1894, so this is 126th football team in Camden High School. So there's guys that have played, you know, that played in the 50s that are still around and come out. The last three championship teams was 01. 1990 and 1964, and they are still revered around here. They still talk about those championship years, and, you know, anytime you go to the barbershop or the restaurant downtown or whatever the gathering is, you know, it's a point of conversation. And it is, you know, I love the alumni part, people coming back, you know, and it's exciting for our kids because, you know, being a small town, that a lot of them are related to them. You know, they know those guys. They grew up watching those guys that were playing and winning state championships. And now they're in those shoes. We've got a really a neat environment that we've been able to create at our stadium. You know, Zimp Stadium is actually the oldest stadium in the state of South Carolina. It's 90 years this year, so it's been around a long time. And we've been able to create a pretty good home environment there that you know, brings people back and wants them to come to, you know, they want to come to games to watch. And I think that's important to get everybody involved. You know, we did things throughout the year, having our youth football teams come over for a youth football night and recognizing our city and county champions from the rec leagues and just that kind of stuff to get people involved. But in the end, you know, we've got to be good on the field. And I told Jim earlier, it really helps when you've got really good players. You're talking about winning by committee. You know, we got two running backs over 1,300 yards rushing. I don't know if anybody in the state can say that. And, you know, our quarterback's got, you know, over 1,600. It's probably close to 2,000 combined yards now. Done a really good job on offense this year, and then our defense was really our question mark coming into the season. We only returned two seniors, or two starters, I should say, on defense, and we've had nine other guys that filled in and played very admirably. You know, they've come up with big stops. We had a couple big turnovers caused on Friday against Union that our defense created to give the offense the ball back, and it's just really been a fun team to be around these guys. We do a lot of stuff all year. Everybody knows that football is kind of a year-round sport. We're together a lot. They better like it or they won't. And, you know, I think being around each other and doing all the things we've done throughout the spring and summer have really helped the chemistry that now, you know, we're playing in November and having a good season.
Coach, before we let you go, I wanted to get your take on Chapman and see if you've had a chance to look at them strongly and how you think you'll play against them. Is this a team that you're going to have to make any adjustments for, or what are you doing in particular to prepare for them?
Well, Chapman's a good football team. One interesting thing about Camden and Chapman is of the last 4 years, this will be our third time playing each other in the playoffs. Camden went to Chapman in 2016 when Chapman ended up winning the whole thing that year. And then last year, that's who put us out of the playoffs in the second round. So we're kind of as familiar as we can be with them, with a team that's not in your region, a team that you don't play every year because, you know, we have – come across each other before. Last year was actually a pretty closely contested game. We ended up losing 28-21. The last few possessions of ours were turnovers at the end of the game, which, you know, you can't do against a good team. They returned just about everybody from last year. They've had, you know, as anybody can see, a tremendous season. They're undefeated. You know, they're really good at quarterback. Their defense has been playing better than probably people have expected them to play. They're a good football team. It's the fourth round of the playoffs. You better be playing a good football team. Our guys are excited for the challenge. We're going to have to drive over there to Spartanburg and get ready to play a really good football team.
Coach, we all know that we all know about Willis Lane, you know, and the yards that he's done. And you've got a great quarter. You've got a good quarterback. I think, you know, Javari Pearson is a kid that, while he's a completely different type of player, he is probably the most electric quarterback Camden's had since Eric McCollum. And I think that's going to – and he's just a junior, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
He is. He's a junior, sir.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well,
does a good job for us.
Yeah, he does a good job, and like I said, he's a different type of quarterback than McCollum. McCollum was obviously a passing quarterback, but talk a little bit about the players. Give you an opportunity to give a shout out to some of the players that don't get the notoriety, that don't get the media attention that these other guys are getting.
Well, you know, on offense, everybody's heard of Willis Lane, like you mentioned. He's over 2,000 yards in the season. Micah Davis had 5 touchdowns last week. He's over 1,300 yards rushing. Then our quarterback, Jafar Pearson, you know, does a great job. He's over 1,000 yards passing and 500 yards rushing on the season. Those guys get all the credit. You know, I'd like to steer a little bit toward the defense. Our defense has, if you look at just statistics, looks like they've given up a lot of points this year. But we really dig down into it. The first string defense really hasn't given up very many points at all. Most, a lot of those are coming at the end of the game. We're getting guys experience, and the game's well in hand. But John Copley is one of the leaders of our defense. He plays defensive end. If you go on to Max Preps, he actually leads the state in sacks. He had a couple more sacks last week against a very elusive quarterback at Union County. He does a great job of pressuring off the edge. He's relentless in his effort. He's a senior. He's going to the. He got selected to go to the Columbia Metro Bowl in December. So he's a really good player for us, especially on that front line. On our second level, we've had a couple of linebackers step up and nearing the 100 tackle total for the season. Marcellus Juggins and Darius Peebles. Marcellus is a junior. Darius is a senior. Those guys have really come on. They both made plays that mattered this past week. You know, stopping a good offense like we played against Union County. In the third level, up in our secondary, Joseph Burns has probably made the most plays for us. He's a junior safety. He had a caused fumble this past week. His fellow counterpart at safety, James Krim, who's also a junior, had an interception this past week in the Union County game. But those guys on defense, and there's more that I didn't mention, but those guys on defense really do a great job of being relentless. We've done a good job all season of limiting the big play, not allowing that big play. And that's something we're going to have to be really good at this week, because Chapman, that's what they do. They can go down the field in a hurry, one play, and they can score, you know, a 60, 70, 80-yard pass and, you know, catch and run or run off the edge. They have really made their living doing that this year. So our defense will have a challenge. But that's something we've been good at, so hopefully we can continue it.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate you giving us your time. I know that when you guys are in the middle of football season in the playoffs like you are, that your time with the family is valuable. So just thank you for taking time out of your schedule to spend some time with us and tell everybody about Camden football. And just wish you the best of luck this week against Chapman. And hopefully you can be one of those Midlands teams we were talking about earlier. Hopefully we can get as many of these. There's six Midlands teams remaining. Hopefully we can get as many of those in the state championships as we can.
Well, we'd like to be one of them, that's for sure. Thanks for having me on. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. All right, Coach Brian Rimp from Camden High School. Richie, man, he's done an amazing job over there. 3 years. This team hasn't had a winning season since 2010. He comes in, is hired in February of 17, and put together three wins in that first year, but 8-4 last year, 12-1 right now, and in the semifinals with a chance to go to the state championship.
That's a big deal. And you know, he talked about those two running backs over 1,000 yards, unheard of. Usually when you're sharing the time behind the quarterback, you don't see guys getting those type of yards. But let's give a credit to that offensive line. Holy moly, those kids have to be incredibly good at what they do and playing the positions they play to open up the holes for not one but 2,000-yard rushers. I mean, it's really neat to watch these coaches, JB, come from what they were to now what they are. Even at Cross, I know they took a tough one off the chin over the weekend on Friday night, but they were 0-9 last year in 1A football. And then this coach turns them around, puts them in the third round of the playoffs. They finished 7-4, but to go from 0-9 to third round of the playoffs the following season, man, these are the type of coaches like we just talked to as well that I love to have in here, because these are the guys that are really getting it done in the trenches.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we've got another one of the great coaches from South Carolina that's going to join us, Mickey Wilson from Myrtle Beach. And we'll be back to the Sunday Drive right after this message.
Score big your next tailgate with one of Maurice's barbecue party specials, like Maurice's rib special. 2 pounds of pulled pork cooked low and slow, a full rack of fall-off-the-bone ribs, 3 big pints of southern sides, 10 rolls, a gallon of tea, and 18 ounces of Maurice's signature sauce. Feed 10 for about $6 a person. Now that's tailgate. More at Maurice'sBarbecue.com. Their pits have been hot since 39. Go team!
That great smoke taste is cooking up for you at Maurice's Piggy Park Barbecue.
You ever get frustrated with your lawn maintenance problems, or perhaps have some landscaping issues that you need to take care of? Windmill Services can help you out. They're not just a landscaping company. They offer a variety of services for all of your outdoor needs. You can hire them for one-time jobs like landscaping, design installation, irrigation installation or repair, sod installation, and even outdoor lighting services. They also are available for ongoing services like scheduled lawn mowings, landscape maintenance, and grounds maintenance. They've been providing professional outdoor services for 25 years to residential and commercial properties in and around the Columbia, South Carolina area. Give them a call today at 803-513-3662 or visit them on the web at windmillservices.net. More than just a landscaping company.
You're listening to Jim Baxter and the South Carolina High School Blitz on the SC Varsity Radio Network.
I know that I know Richie likes that, so I have to play a little fish at least once a show. Joining us on the line right now is Coach Mickey Wilson from Myrtle Beach High School. Myrtle Beach back in the semifinals again with a very good chance at repeating. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, good evening. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing great, man. Congratulations on the win. You guys, you've had a little bit of adversity, but you don't seem to be missing any. All the Pistons are firing.
Well, we've had some guys that have been a little bit unhealthy throughout the postseason and at the end of the regular season, and it's really neat to see some of our younger guys step up and play in those spots and do really well. It's kind of created some depth for us moving forward throughout the playoffs . Just excited for those younger guys who had a chance to step in and get some reps and get to play a little bit and help us out.
Talk a little bit about the game Friday night. You guys got behind early to an airport team, but recovered quickly and really shut down this airport team who had put up over 400 yards rushing the previous week. And you guys completely shut them down. Talk about that game.
Well, we came out in the first quarter and didn't play particularly well and just settled down a little bit. And of course, we have a sophomore quarterback that's starting in the place of Luke Doty right now, and I just had to give him a chance to settle down a little bit. But our defense was amazing Friday night. They played lights out. They've been carrying us here through the playoffs and just played a great football game. And like you said earlier, Airport was coming off a big game against Lower Richland, where they had a lot of rushing yards and just a high-powered offense. And we were able to, like you said, shut them out a little bit and play well on that side of the ball.
Now, you mentioned your sophomore quarterback, Ryan Berger. Using him in the place of Luke, you were telling me off the air, we talked some yesterday, that this is a kid that has actually been your varsity backup all year. But with him taking over the reins for Doty, are there any adjustments you're having to make with him, or is he able to run your whole playbook?
No, we feel comfortable with our whole playbook. Now, there's some things that we're a little bit limited on, and Luke was a very dynamic player, a true dual threat guy, where Ryan's probably not as much of a dual threat guy as Luke is. But we feel good about everything in our playbook. Of course, he hasn't had the reps that Luke has had over the past 2 or 3 years. But he's really gained some confidence over the last 2 weeks and is throwing the ball down the field really well. So we're excited about him and what he's done, and the growth that he's shown in these past 2 weeks has been phenomenal. So we're just excited about him moving forward.
Now, Coach, this is going to be your second meeting with Hartsville this season. Do you guys approach this any differently than you did back in October when you faced them early in October, or do you approach this team differently since they seem to be a different football team now?
Well, they've changed some things that they're doing offensively, and we'll have to adjust to that. But preparation is preparation. I feel like we've got a great coaching staff at Myrtle Beach, and our assistant coaches do a great job of getting our kids ready for Friday night. So we're going to continue to do what we do, and there'll be some subtle changes and some subtle adjustments. Of course, anytime you play somebody twice, I think that's going to happen. But we're excited about it, and our kids are excited about playing at Duckshaw Stadium for sure.
Hey, Coach, Richie Allman down here in Charleston at Southern Sports Central. First of all, thanks for your time. Now, here's kind of something neat. I grew up in Myrtle Beach, but I grew up in Surfside, to be quite honest. I just live south. You know where that's at. Class of 97 is Takati. So I grew up, you guys were one of our big rivals.
I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, trust me. Hey, look, and I'm the voice of the Green Waves on Friday nights in Somerville, where I get to hang out with Coach Spivey, who went to Conway. So it's always fun on Friday night. But you've got a good buddy of mine there. I grew up with J.O., Jason Owens, your defensive coordinator, there with you guys. And when you talk to him, tell him where I said hello. But that being said, you know, it's funny when we graduate. Yeah, there's still a little bit of that. You can pick on us. We can pick on you. But I do follow you guys. I'm really proud of what you've put together, what you've maintained from even the days that, you know, I'm still good friends with Jimbo Langston, a lot of those guys up there with you guys. But, man, you guys continue to year after year. You're doing it now with backup quarterback. You're doing it with guys in other positions. You know, talk to us about some of this young talent that you've kind of coached them up all the way from eighth grade into the now their junior or senior year, Coach.
Well, first of all, Jason Owens is I know he's your buddy. He's a great football coach. He's our defensive coordinator, coaches our defensive line as well. And he's been with us from the beginning, and he's just an amazing football coach and does a great job. And certainly glad to have him on our staff. You know, we have a great setup at Myrtle Beach. We're very fortunate that our recreation department is actually located right beside our practice field. So we're able to kind of get our hands on those guys at a pretty early age and see them daily as they play and practice over there. I mean, it's right beside us if you've ever been to our facility. So you can kind of imagine, you know, seeing the Luke Dodies and the Everett Golsons over there playing rec ball and being able to, you know, go over there and communicate with them and have them out to our practice and things like that really helps out. So it's just been neat. You know, Kurt Gallion is the City of Myrtle Beach Recreation Department manager, does an amazing job. He'll come to our practice. We'll go to their practices. And so it works hand in hand, and it really makes for a great setup for those guys, those young guys coming to our middle school program and to our junior varsity program.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate you giving us some time today. I know that Sunday's a day that you like to spend with your family, and so your time's valuable. And so we certainly have a lot of gratitude for you sharing some of that time with us. And we wish you the best of luck this week against Hartsville. It's going to be a great game. Semifinals are looking like this may be one of the best years we've had as far as matchups goes. But good luck to you guys.
Thank you for having us. Certainly appreciate it.
All right, thank you. All right, Coach Mickey Wilson from Myrtle Beach High School, join us. Man, Richie, he's done such a phenomenal job down there. I mean, Myrtle Beach has always been, if you go all the way back to Doug Shaw and the things that they were able to do down there, and then Scott Early got that team turned around after some years in the doldrums of high school football and got them back to state championships and winning ways. And Mickey took over when Scott left and has just done nothing but win. And seems like the program gets stronger every year.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We talked Tom Knotts, and I'm not going to sit here and say that Myrtle Beach is what you see at Dutch Fork, but they have a very similar look, uniforms and all. They're very good, and he said it best. Their facility of their youth department, and I grew up up there, so they've got the best field on the Grand Strand. They've got the best of the best in a lot of ways. And again, it's the plus of growing and being in the middle of the city limits and getting a lot of that extra stuff. But he's right. He can look over the fence and see a sixth grader, a fifth grader, a fourth grader with talent coming through the backfield. Baseball's the same way. They're right there as well with their baseball department. So, again, he's able to really kind of coach them up. And I said this earlier, and maybe on this show or maybe just in somebody in general, but Tom Knotts, this guy breathes, eats, sleeps football. He's in the eighth grade all the way to their senior year. He's in all three levels of the program. And I can tell you, Coach Wilson does the same thing. You know, he's very well-liked and loved there in Myrtle Beach. He's got a lot of history, traditions all there. And, you know, Randy Sinclair was a big-time running back for Sakasti back in the 90s in my days. Well, his son ended up becoming a big-time running back at Myrtle Beach. You're talking about a very divided house there. Now he's running the ball to Old Dominion. But, again, Brandon Sinclair was a big name, but he's always got these guys. And like I mentioned, you mentioned the kid's name earlier. He's a backup quarterback playing a big-time role. And you can see not even switching or twitching. He's getting it done. And they had to come and battle on this one. But trust me, they'll be ready for Hartsville, and I can't wait to watch this one on Game Tracker just to kind of keep up with it.
It's going to be a great game. All right, we're going to quickly recap Friday night and just mention the matchups for this coming Friday for the semifinals of the state high school playoffs in football. In 5A, Gaffney knocked off Burns 34-20. They will face Dorman, who beat Clover 45-42 on a field goal in the fourth quarter. Dutch Fort 48, Fort Dorchester 0. They will take on, they'll host Carolina Forest, who knocked off Goose Creek 41-14. In 4A, Wren, in a defensive battle, knocks off Greenville 17-7. They will take on a Ridgeview team who beat Daniel on Thursday night 35-28. Myrtle Beach, we were just talking to Coach Wilson, beat Airport 34-10. We'll take on Hartsville, who knocked off Brooklyn Casey 22-21. In the 3A classification, Chapman, all over Woodruff, 49-0, will take on Camden, 42-27 over Union County. That's going to be a great matchup in the third time they face these guys in about 4 years. May River, 21, Strom Thurmond, 17 in the lower state 3A. They are going to take on Dillon, who knocked off Gilbert 41-34 on the road. In 2A, Saluda knocks off Southside Christian 56-35. They will be taking on Abbeville. I'm sorry, they knocked off Southside Christian 56-42. Abbeville beat Gray 38-35. Those two guys are going to see each other for the second time this season. Abbeville won the first matchup. We'll see what happens Friday night. In the lower state, Barnwell beat Timberland 49-19. Oceanside 56, Woodland 42. Those two guys are going to face each other with our friend Chad Greer from Oceanside Collegiate. And incidentally, this is the first time ever that a charter school has made it to the semifinals of the football playoffs. Class A, Upper State, Rich Spring, Mineta 26, Blackwood Hill to 24, in three overtimes. They will take on Wagner Sally, who beat Lamar 24-12. In Lower State, Lakeview 50, Cross 8. They will take on Green Sea Floyd, who beat C.E. Murray 46-6. That's our matchups for this week. Richie, tell everybody where they can find you. And let them know where they can listen to your show.
You got it, buddy. We're part of the Blog Talk family with you here. Of course, Southern Sports Central kicks off Monday through Friday, 7 to 9. You can find us over there at SO Sports Central on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook at Southern Sports Central. We do a fifth quarter show on Saturday from 8 to 10, and then on Friday night, follow us over there at Southern Sports Central because we'll be at the Abbeville, of course, taking on that team, excuse me, with Chad Greer and the guys over there taking on, of course, Oceanside.
Well, that's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to that one. I think I'm going to be over at Dutch Fort. Well, Richie, again, appreciate you joining me on the Sunday Drive, SC High School Blitz on scvarsity.com. And we'll be seeing you on Wednesday. For those of you who keep up with me on Twitter, at scvarsity, and follow scvarsity.com. This Wednesday will be the 24th annual release of the scvarsity.com All-State teams. We've got first, second, and third team picks, teams selected. And, man, 24 years. I've been doing this, been selecting the All-State team for 24 years. But we've got a great team that's going to be picked for this. Be sure to stay tuned. Wednesday, we'll be back for the South Carolina High School Blitz Wednesday edition. That comes on at 6 o'clock Wednesday. We'll be breaking down all of the semifinal matchups and talking about anything that comes up during the week with high school football politics. Yes, there are politics involved. I'm Jim Baxter from scvarsity.com. You've been listening to the Sunday Drives, the part of the South Carolina High School Blitz on the scvarsity.com radio network.